welcome. I would like to thank you all for holding and inform you that you are in a listen-only during today's conference until the question-and-answer session. This call is also being recorded, and if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Karen Riley. Ma'am, you may begin.
Good afternoon. I'm Karen Riley in FDA's press office. Welcome to today's media teleconference. We are here to provide you with an update on FDA's ongoing investigation into adverse events associated with Baxter Healthcare Corporation's blood thinning drug known as heparin. Our discussion will include information about our updated public health advisory and the latest news from our ongoing inspection in China, the location of the manufacturing facility where the drug's active ingredient is made. Here to discuss what's been happening are Dr. Sandra Queter, Deputy Director of the Office of New Drugs and FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, and Michael Rogers, Director of the Division of Field Investigations in the Office of Regulatory Affairs at FDA. Before we get started, let me set your expectations. We have not yet arrived at the root cause of these adverse events. And with that, Dr. Queter will begin.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Karen. Today, FDA has issued a new public health advisory that's in response to Baxter Healthcare Corporation's expanded recall of heparin sodium products. You'll recall that on February 11th, Baxter Healthcare Corporation stopped manufacturing all of their multi-dose vials of the blood-thinning drug heparin because of reports of serious adverse events associated with use of the drug. The reports were of serious allergic type reactions, including cases that had severe hypotension or low blood pressure and possible death. The reports were almost all in patients who had received what's called a large bolus dose of heparin, that is, a high dose delivered very quickly into the bloodstream. Since that time, at the time, Baxter supplied half of the heparin used for in those clinical settings in the United States. No recall was issued. We concluded with Baxter that a recall calling the drug back to the company would have resulted in an immediate and severe shortage of this medically necessary drug. Therefore, it was in the interest of the public health to allow the heparin vials to remain on the market, but to be used with caution, which we advised in the PHA. Since February 11th, FDA's drug shortage team has been working closely with APP, the other heparin supplier, to determine their manufacturing capacity. Today, we can report that APP is now able to adequately supply the U.S. market. Consequently, Baxter can now take the step and is voluntarily recalling all of its multiple dose vials of heparin and single dose vials. As a further precaution, Baxter is also recalling another product, and that product is called HepLock. It's a heparin flush product. What that is a very dilute solution of heparin. It's used in very small amounts to prevent blood clots from forming in intravenous medication lines. The heparin used in Baxter's HepLock has the same active pharmaceutical ingredient source as that was used in the vial products that they're recalling. Again, this is a precautionary action. There have been no adverse events reported in patients using HepLock products. FDA believes that Baxter's decision to voluntarily remove all of these product lines from the market is in the interest of patient safety and public health. The only Baxter heparin-containing product that will remain on the market are what are pre-mixed bags of intravenous solution that are contain 500 and 1,000 cc's per bag. No adverse events have been reported with that product line, and the drug uses a different heparin source manufacturer than do the heparin products that Baxter is recalling today. I want to emphasize that we at FDA understand how unsettling this whole situation with heparin is, how unsettling and anxiety-provoking the adverse event reports have been and are for healthcare professionals and patients. So far, an underlying cause of the adverse events is not known, and it remains under investigation. We are doing everything possible. We are determined to get to the root cause of these adverse events. We are working with every resource that we have in FDA in the field and at headquarters. We are collaborating with the CDC and with other government agencies and with experts around the country to get to the root cause of this problem so that the medical community can go back to treating patients and providing safe and effective care.
Thank you, Dr. Queter. We'll now hear from Michael Rogers.
Thank you. In addition to providing an update about the recall, we would also like to provide an update on the status of the investigation. After learning about the recent spike in adverse events associated with Baxter's heparin products, FDA launched a far-ranging investigation in both the United States and abroad. This included sending a team to China to conduct a comprehensive inspection of the Changzhou SPL facility, which makes the active pharmaceutical ingredient for this drug. As part of that inspection, the inspection team was asked to look at issues that may have caused or contributed to the adverse events and to evaluate whether the manufacturer was following current good manufacturing practices when making the active ingredient. Today we can announce that our inspection team has completed their inspection of the facility. The inspection revealed that the facility is currently not manufacturing at this time and identified a number of potentially objectionable conditions related to the firm's manufacturing process. It's important to note that at this time, we still have not identified a root cause for these adverse events, and we're still evaluating this inspection work product and working to determine the level of significance associated with these observations. The team's inspection observations were recorded on what we call a Form 483, or a list of inspectional observations, which is a report of potential deficiencies. This document is presented to the company once an implant inspection is complete and when objectionable conditions are observed. We will be posting a redacted version of this form on the FDA website shortly. The team's inspectional observations relate to deficiencies in the plant's evaluation of the steps it takes to remove impurities, its investigation of out-of-specification results, issues related to waste material flow, and deficiencies related to equipment. It's important to note that while we're concerned about what we have observed, we aren't at a point where we can determine any links between the observations and the adverse events seen in association with Baxter's drug product. The agency views a 43 as just one step in the inspection process. The complete inspection or work product includes the inspection report, the exhibits, the evidence, and sample analysis results, and it is this entire package that the agency uses, as well as any of the firm's promised corrective actions, to make a final decision about the compliance status of a facility. This process is underway. Our team remains in China and is continuing their investigation at other facilities that have a relationship to the API manufacturer. This continues to be an ongoing investigation and one of the agency's top priorities, and we're dedicating all appropriate resources to this investigation. In our comprehensive and ongoing investigation, subsequent actions may include further investigation of involved facilities, sample analysis by the FDA and involved companies, and a complete study of the adverse events and any other information that becomes available. Upon completion of the investigation, FDA will undertake any appropriate regulatory action.
Thank you, Michael. He mentioned the redacted 483. When that is available, you can find it by going to our homepage and clicking on heparin, which can be found under Hot Topics. We're now going to go to the question and answer phase of this teleconference. Let me remind you that this is for credentialed media only. We have two other people standing on, experts standing by to answer questions should issues in their area come up. They are Dr. Murray Lumpkin, Deputy Commissioner of the International and Special Programs at FDA, and Deborah Otter, Director of the Office of Compliance at CDER in FDA. As I said, this is for credentialed media only. We're going to ask you to identify yourself and your media organization when you ask a question, and please confine yourself to one question and one follow-up question only. So, conference coordinator, let's begin.
Thank you, ma'am. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will be prompted by our automated service to state your name to help with pronunciation. Again, to ask a question, it's star 1. To withdraw your question, it's star 2. One moment for our first question, please. First question comes from Marion Falco. Your line is open. State your affiliation, please.
Hi, I'm with CNN Medical News. Thanks for taking these questions. Dr. Quetter, and I hope I said that right, has there been any adverse event reports since February 11th, since you didn't, or Baxter didn't take their product off the market, as you said, because it would have been a severe shortage that wouldn't have been helpful to the patients? And then, Mr. Rogers, if you could tell me, I know hindsight is 20/20, but the question that is begged in this situation is, if the FDA would have inspected this plant in the first place, would these deficiencies in the plant have been detected before, and then this product never would have made it to the United States?
I'll go first. This is Sandy Quetter. Thank you for that question. If you remember, one of the things that we did with our public health advisory in February 11th was we, and also the Centers for Disease Control, specifically asked healthcare professionals and facilities to please, please report cases that they knew of or were aware of with serious adverse events in patients who had received heparin. That kind of request is always met successfully, and people do report to us, and we rely on that kind of reporting. All total, from all sources, we have today 448 reports of adverse events associated with heparin products. But not all of the, I can't tell you for sure that there's not some duplication in those reports. We are working diligently to look at them much more carefully. I would say what I know is that if we take a look at the types of cases that are particularly of interest related to the type of events that were reported and are of concern, I think that the 448 goes down to 215 reports with events of interest. So we are looking at reports that have come in to us and for events that have occurred since the 15th of December. So yes, we've gotten more. We're continuing to evaluate those reports. It's like trying to put together the pieces of a puzzle, find commonalities among them. In many cases, we have to go back to the reporter and get more information to try and understand what happened to the patient. Just because there's a report in a patient that took heparin doesn't necessarily mean that heparin caused the event, and there are all kinds of events that occur. A lot of these patients are very, very sick.
Thank you. I think you asked two questions. The second question is for Deborah Otter is going to take the going to answer you.
Yeah, the second question, as I understood it, was had FDA done a pre-approval inspection in 2004, would the agency have found these issues and been able to prevent this episode? The answer to that is, first of all, to reiterate that we do not at this point know that the problem with the heparin is linked to the API supplier. Second of all, this API supplier came online, as we understand, in 2004 and began supplying API for Baxter heparin in 2004, whereas the issue we're dealing with now didn't manifest until late 2007. So, in fact, as we understand it, the supplier was supplying heparin problem-free for a number of years. So I think that had we done the inspection in 2004, there's no reason to think that we would have at that time found problem with the API supplier if there is one that's linked to the issue we're dealing with today.
Thank you. Next question.
Next question comes from Kim Dixon. Your line is open. State your affiliation, please.
Hi, it's Kim Dixon with Reuters. Are you going back to the there? I guess I'm hearing that there are sub sources of the heparin that supply people like STL. Are you investigating those? And what have you determined about where the actual pigs were slaughtered? And given what seems to be some problems with drug manufacturing in China, are you expanding the investigation to other suppliers there, or are you just keeping it very narrow at this point?
This is Michael. Let me reiterate that the inspection revealed that the firm is no longer manufacturing product. And I also pointed out that the team is still investigating in China. We recognize that there are a number of firms that are relevant upstream from the manufacturing process. And, yes, they are of interest and part of this investigation. We're working with the Chinese government as well as the company to try to understand the records associated in identifying these workshops and other farms. And you asked another part of that question?
Given the scope of drug manufacturing and API from China, I mean, are you going to broaden the investigation? I mean, I know that your resources are limited, but...
I think Deb Otter has a comment, but let's point out that FDA's regulations apply to API manufacturers, and as you start going further upstream, you're dealing with intermediates. It's important to note that we will go where this investigation takes us, but it requires cooperation from a number of parties, including the Chinese government and the related firms. Deb, you had a comment?
Well, I was going to say we do obviously perform inspections in China, but I was also going to suggest that Dr. Lumpkin might want to add some comments on our memorandum of agreement or other efforts relating to that country.
Yeah, hi, Deb. Thanks. This is Murray Lumpkin. I just wanted to add in that on this investigation, as Mike says, one of the things that's been very prominent has been the cooperation of the Chinese government. The visas to send our people over there, helping us that are there. I think to see here in our relationship and our working with our export agencies in China is that not only the terms of the agreement, but the relationships that have been built under that between us and our counterpart agencies in a very real-life situation at this point in time. As Mike says, as we look at the totality of the companies that are playing into the manufacture of this product at our primary site of concern, we have the cooperation of the Chinese, and we are looking, as he says, where this investigation takes us. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Lisa Stark. Your line is open. State your affiliation, please.
Hi, Lisa Stark of ABC News. Getting back to the question on the sub companies, and I know you're still trying to work that out and how many and all that. Can you give us any idea how many potential companies in China may have been part of this chain for this drug?
That's part of what we're assessing. Again, the team is still over there. We've just completed our inspection, and we referenced the redacted FDA 43 that's going to be posted. But this is an ongoing investigation, and we're still waiting for information to come back from our inspection team to help us understand and diagram the network of firms that would be related to the starting material, the intermediates, and as it went into the finished API product.
So you don't have any idea whether that's two other firms, five other firms? I mean, you don't really have a good handle yet on the number, right?
We have a better handle than we want to disclose at this time.
And I'm sorry, one other question for Dr. Queter, just to follow up. You mentioned 448 adverse events. What are the number of deaths that are potentially associated with this at this time?
We have had reports of all total among that 448. We have had there are reports. Remember, we ask for everything. We have reports of 21 deaths, but it's really important to know that these are deaths from all causes. Most of these events occurred before December. 12 of them, the report tells us that it was a Baxter heparin product that the patient received. 9 of them, it was not stated. We don't know. But if you look at cases, deaths that we think have the same kind of clinical picture as the allergic type reactions that brought this up in the first place, it appears that there are 4 of those.
Thank you.
Let me add to a previous comment to give you a better picture of just this manufacturing process without disclosing actual firm names. You're aware of the API manufacturer that was the subject of our inspection that we referenced, that the FDA 43, a redacted version we put up on FDA's website. But the manufacturing process involves, if you're looking upstream, what they call consolidators. These are facilities that get product and they consolidate it for a crude product that's further manufactured into USP heparin. We have identified as part of our investigation 2 consolidators that are relevant and related to the APIs in the manufacturing window associated with these adverse events, and we have inspected those 2 consolidators. Further upstream from those consolidators are a number of workshops and farms. And as we said previously, and as Dr. Lumpkin reiterated, we will go where the investigation takes us, certainly in cooperation with the Chinese government. But I just wanted to give you a picture of the various firms involved in the sequence of events towards manufacturing heparin USP API in China.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Anna Matthews. Your line is open. State your affiliation, please.
I'm with the Wall Street Journal. I just wanted to clarify one thing and then just ask for more detail on something else.
Anna, could you speak up just a tad?
Sorry, I just need to clarify one thing and ask for more detail on something else. The clarification was, Dr. Queter, the adverse events you talked about, the 400, you said they were associated with heparin. Were they all associated with the Baxter heparin products that are being recalled, or are they associated with all heparin?
Okay, I can tell you that I said the total was 448 total.
Yeah.
389 of those are state Baxter as the source. The rest are a mix of other sources are unknown.
Then are the concerns that have been raised about the Baxter products, do they apply to these other heparin products?
To date, most of our concern remains with the Baxter. Our concern remains with the Baxter product. We don't have reports that lead us to believe at this point in time that there are problems with any other products. But we are watching very carefully for that, and it's one of the reasons in our public health advisory today we continue to ask healthcare providers and institutions to please report any cases that you have.
And then I wondered if the list of things that you said you had found, I think this is from Mr. Rogers, in the inspection of the Shangzhou plant. I was writing as fast as I could, but do you think you could go through those again and maybe elucidate a little bit what you mean by them and which are of most potential concern? You mentioned waste material flow, equipment, deficiencies, and steps they took to document things. Could you walk through those again and explain what they mean and which ones are most serious?
Part of your question is asking the agency to make a final determination about the significance of these observations. And I think that would be inappropriate at this time, given what we said earlier, in that the FDA 43 is just one part of the inspection work product. It includes the EAR, it includes the exhibits, it includes analytical results, as well as a total evaluation of those inspectional findings, as well as whatever the firm may commit to make changes. Having said that, the exact language of the 43, I would direct you to FDA's website, and we announced that we would be posting a redacted version. I don't want to get into talking about the significance of the 43. I used the term EIR, and let me clarify what that means. That is Establishment Inspection Report. But I'd just rather not get into talking about the significance of the observations. I direct you to the FDA website.
Without doing that, then, would you be willing to just repeat the observations that you mentioned? Because it hasn't been posted yet.
It will be shortly.
Okay.
It's posted, right?
It's just posted.
It's
just
posted on that page, yeah.
This is Sandy Creter. You know, one of the things, as one of the clinicians and reviewers, the way that we think of a really basic lay person's interpretation of a 483 is that it's a list that the inspector develops while they're going through a facility of things that need to be further followed up on as potential areas of concern. And if you look, when you see it, when it does get posted, you'll see that it's stated as it's a preliminary or a draft, and it's hard, and we don't base specific conclusions on the 483 itself. It's a working list that we use to then go back and work with the firm and ask them further questions about, ask them to explain more. And I think that's one of the reasons that you're hearing some reluctance to say what's the most important, because we really don't know what's the most important. Anything's potentially important.
Okay.
Okay, are you done?
Okay, thank you. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Luke Timmerman. Your line is open. State your affiliation, please.
Hi, I'm with Bloomberg News. My question was John Jenkins on the February 11th call said that there could be other factors here besides manufacturing to blame, like maybe rubber stopper components falling off in the fill and finish phase. I wonder if any factors like that have been ruled out so far in the investigation.
This is Deborah Otter. I think it's fair to say that we're still considering all possibilities. We have not yet identified the root cause. We have not ruled anything out at this point.
Okay. The other follow-up was, how many members are on this inspection team, and how many of them speak fluent Chinese?
We covered that at our previous media call, but the team is composed of two individuals, one of which is a national expert in drug manufacturing technology and a person that has domestic and international experience conducting complex inspections. The other person is a PhD who speaks fluent Chinese and has in-depth knowledge and understanding of the actual application as well as the heparin manufacturing process.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Again, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Mark Kaufman. Your line is open. State your affiliation, please.
With the Washington Post. This is kind of to follow up on Anna's question before. You put us at something of a disadvantage if we can't see the 483 while you're still on the phone, so we can't ask questions. So I guess I'm going to pose this as a question. Why did you not make that available before the press conference, so the teleconference, so that we could ask questions about it? And the second thing is, you know, in the absence of that, could you explain to us, going back to what you had said earlier, what are the areas of concern without saying this is a cause or that is a cause, but from your view, what were the areas of concern, since we're not going to be able to answer the question after we've seen the 483?
Yeah, we're going to read those bulleted observations, since I guess it's still not there. Okay,
okay.
Michael.
The team's inspectional observations relate to deficiencies in the plant's evaluation of steps it takes to remove impurities, its investigation of out-of-specification results, and issues with waste material flow and deficiencies related to equipment. That's the general characterization of the observations. I'll add that a lot of the observations relate to process validation and control. We're told the 43 redacted version is up.
Can you say what process validation and control is? I'm not sure they all know what that means.
The firm's demonstrated ability to manufacture the product over a consistent period of time that meets USP specifications as well as any self-imposed specifications.
This is Deborah Otter, and I just wanted to emphasize one point, which is even had the 483 been up before this call, I don't think that we'd be prepared to go through the observations in detail. As Mike Rogers has said, those are preliminary observations, and we don't yet have our investigators back in this country. When we have them, we have their full establishment inspection report, and we're able to really dig underneath here and evaluate the significance of this, I think we'll be better able to talk about it. But at this point, what we have is a preliminary set of observations which we wanted to share with you, but which we're not yet ready to discuss in great depth.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Daniel Danoon. Your line is open. State your affiliation, please.
Hi, I'm Dan Danoon with WebMD. Dr. Quito, can you give us some indication of how much heparin this is, how many doses of the multivial and how many doses of the single vial are being recalled?
No, honestly, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but one of the things that's important to know is that the way that Baxter produces heparin, they don't have a very, you know, the time between its actual production and the time it reaches the facilities, there's not a lot of inventory between there. It tends to get used and then reordered very quickly. So they stopped production early in February 10th or 11th. Much of the product, Baxter product that people would have had available is mostly used up in for most institutions. And they have not been able to order any more. So it's what our understanding is that the APP, there's not a lot, as much to recall today as there would have been to recall back on the 11th of February. And meanwhile, distributor sources have been ramped up substantially by APP.
Is there, just as a follow-up, is there any gap or lag time between the ability of APP to reestablish the flow of heparin?
APP has, you know, we have a drug shortages team that works very closely with manufacturers and to understand the whole flow. As with any potential shortage or in any recall setting, there may be small pockets of areas where there might be a little bit more difficulty than others, but APP has been working very hard to make sure that there aren't gaps in supply. That's particularly the case for the heparin and vials, you know, the multi-dose and single-dose vials, where they are the only other manufacturer for the U.S. For the HepLock and the HepFlush, I believe there are 7 manufacturers that can fully supply the market immediately.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next question will come from Peggy Peck. Your line is open. State your affiliation, please.
Hi, this is Peggy Peck. I'm from MedPage today, and I think that my first question was answered, but I wanted to find out whether or not there's a manufacturer for HepLock, and you just covered it.
We can't hear you, Peggy.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I did have a question about HepLock and whether there were other manufacturers available for that. But in addition to that, I'm wondering. I want to get into this the inspection teams in China. Whether or not you've had any discussions with the Chinese government about inspections of these workshop type facilities that we've heard described. It appears from news reports that they have never been inspected, and I'm wondering if there has been any indication from the Chinese, from your Chinese counterparts, parts that they would consider inspections at that level.
We're as Dr. Lumpkin mentioned, we're exploring all of that as well as where this investigation may lead us with the Chinese government. As you go further upstream from the process I described, from the heparin USP manufacturer, the API, one level upstream to the consolidators, and even further upstream, FDA's regulations and the criteria by which we use to assess the products coming out of those firms, it becomes difficult. We believe that we'll continue to work with the Chinese government, perhaps in a collaborative effort, work with them and try to better understand their oversight of these facilities. But it's still, as we mentioned, an ongoing investigation.
And on follow, do you have any sense of the numbers of that way upstream, those workshops that there might be?
We have records that indicate and may suggest the number of workshops that may have contributed to the 2 consolidators that we inspected that provided crude material to the API manufacturer that was the subject of the original and first inspection. We need to verify that information, and we're currently doing that.
So that information has been redacted from the report. Is that correct, or it's not?
Yeah, we have to end the teleconference. We've gone over time, and I want to thank you for participating and apologize for the 483 not being posted. But we're going to get with our web staff and get it posted ASAP, so you could be confident that that will happen. We also want to tell you that a replay of this briefing will be available starting at 6 p.m. And if you have any additional questions, you can contact me, Karen Riley, or Brad Sweezy. And tomorrow, if you have any follow-up questions, please contact Brad Sweezy. Thank you very much.
At this time, that would conclude today's conference. You may disconnect, and thank you for your attendance.